in Acts of the Apostles, it right at the very beginning of the first chapter, it states the mission of the church, okay? And it says this: the church is God's appointed agency for the salvation of men. It was organized for service, and its mission is to carry the gospel to the world. So that is our purpose as a church congregation, is to serve and to take this word to everybody, to the whole world. That's what we need to do. That is our job. So right now, a little bit what we're going to talk about is going to get a little uncomfortable, okay? It's going to get a little uncomfortable, but we kind of find ourselves in a semi-uncomfortable position here as a church. So I do want to ask a question. Everybody saw all those youth here. When was the last time that you, church family, don't need to point names at anybody, but just you thinking as a church family individually, when was the last time that you had a conversation with one of those youth? When was the last time that they walked by you and you said good morning and happy Sabbath? When was the last time that you tried to help them with something, with care and with love, to be able to pass down to that next generation what you know? Because there are a lot of you out there that know even a lot more than me. But what have you done to be able to pass down what you know to these kids? And I'm not only talking to church congregation, also youth. You listening here? When was the last time that you held the door open for somebody? When was the last time that you saw one of the church leaders here and you looked up at them and said hello? Right? This is a two-way street here. We have the youth, we have the kids, and we have the church. And you know, some of the healthiest communities that you find in the world are communities that are integrated from bottom to top. That means that you have the youngest kid that are having conversations with the oldest adult. You have kids that are talking to the parents, other kids' parents, other adults. The senior citizens are trying to play ball with the kids and have activities. Those are some of the healthiest communities that you're going to find, is where all of that community is actually talking to one another, right? So we see those in a lot of other cultures, and not so much here that we find in our culture here in the United States. There's sometimes that disconnect between young and then the old. So today, and I would like to see us as a church become a little tighter as a family. Because that's what we are. We are a family here. We are God's family here. And I think we need to just integrate just a little bit more. We need to have a little bit more love and compassion for our youth, for our adults, for our seniors, a little bit of everything. We need to be a little bit tighter fit church. Because what we are all about here is we are all about sharing the word of God, right? And we can do that when we are truly a family, and then everybody is communicating and everybody is talking. So if these youth that we all saw up here, if they are going to be the future leaders, right? I heard some applause. I heard a lot of amens. I heard a lot of emotion coming from this church congregation when these youth came up here and I said that they are going to be the future leaders. I felt it. We could see it. And you guys know it. You know that these kids are our next generation and they are our future. But what are we doing to educate them? What are you doing individually to help them get there? Because how are they going to learn what it's like to be a church member? How are they going to learn what it's like to work with God and to be with God? And to learn about his grace and to learn about his mercy. Where are they going to learn that from? Right? And we can't just leave this work only to the parents, right? This is something that needs to be learned from the whole congregation as the whole family. We all need to take our part in sharing it with the kids. Obviously, yes, it does start with the home, right? And we are talking to the parents as well. What are you doing for your kids? I know we're all busy, but what are we doing for our kids? So is everybody with me up until this point? We all on the same page? Okay. So have any of you passed by some of the Sabbath school classes, the children's Sabbath school classes? You probably don't, because either you're here and there's not too many people here in the Sabbath school, or you're already helping. But if you do walk and you haven't walked by some of the children's Sabbath school classes, let me tell you what you're going to find. You're going to find some classes that have a sign on the door, and it says that the class has now joined with the other class, right? And in some of the classes, if you go there week after week, you're going to find that there's the same teacher there teaching it week after week. And it's not because that teacher wants to teach every single week. It's because we don't have the teachers to be able to teach the kids. We had a really great group of kids that were up here, the youth, right? Of all ages, from real little to real up high. You know, we have several Sabbath school classes, and we're lacking some teachers. So where is the teaching that's going on for this next generation? It's just a question. You can all think about it. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, you can turn to Psalms 78, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. So Psalm 78, 1 through 8 says this. Psalm 78, verse 1. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the word of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the next generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strengths and his wonderful works that he has done." Verse 5 says this, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God." So we see here, we see the word being passed down from generation to generation, right? They wanted to teach their kids. They wanted everybody to know who God was. They wanted to know the commandments of God. And it says, "We will not hide." They're not going to hide the word of God to the kids. "And we will share with the next generation." And they're going to be sharing the strengths and the works of God. And that is what our church needs to be about. We need to be about sharing this information to the next generation, making sure that they know all that we know, that they know what this word is all about. And we don't want to be like what it says here in the last verse. We don't want to be like those stubborn fathers, the ones who did not share the word of God, right? These people, the Israelites, they experienced what it was like not sharing the word of God to the next generation. And we saw that it didn't improve. And we see here in these verses that there is a desire to be able to share the word of God and to share everything to the next generation. Because, brothers and sisters, if we do not teach this next generation, I know somebody that is very, very willing and waiting to teach them. And I think we know who that is. So either we're going to step up and we're going to do it, or somebody else is. Because the teaching, the kids are going to be learning, and they learn every single day, whether we like it or not. And they're going to be either learning what we teach them, what the world teaches them, Satan teaches them, they're always going to be learning it. And we all know that. In Psalm 71, this is what the scripture reading was. I want to read it again. Psalm 71, 17 and 18. I hear a couple of pages flowing here. So Psalm 71, 17 and 18 says this, "Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and this day I declare your wondrous works. And now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. So are we right now declaring to our next generation who God is and his strength and his power? Because this, the generation that we saw up here could very well be the very last generation that this earth sees. So are we preparing them? Because like the verse said, we do have, if you look around, we do have some gray-haired people around with a lot of knowledge that they can share. Some of us are halfway there or maybe all the way there, but we don't want to admit it, right? But we need to be like this scripture. We need to have the desire to say, God, no, don't forsake me yet. Because what I still need to do is to teach this next generation. They need to know about you. Keep me around today because I still need to teach them. That's what this verse is saying. So I do want to make a statement here today. I do want to say this, and then we'll go in and we'll explain a little bit more about the statement and how it's true. It is that the youth that are alive today, those who are born, you know, what we had up here between 1 and 20, 25, all the kind of youth, God has implanted them in them a special spiritual DNA that they have to be able to go and live in the times that they are living in, to be able to help them with what they need. And you and I don't necessarily have that spiritual DNA, that spiritual oomph that God is giving to this next generation. Right? Because God is giving them something special. Because if they are the last generation on this earth, God has to give them something a little special, right? Because they are going to be carrying out these very things that we know. So how many of you truly, truly deep down in your heart really do believe that we are living in the last days? I mean, not like today's the last day, but that we are living in the last days, okay? I do as well. I truly believe that we are. I know there has been a lot of you that have been saying that for years and years. I know Pastor Mike often says that he's been saying that the Lord is coming and he's going to be here. Well, we are a little bit more closer, right? And we definitely know that he is coming. And we know that there are going to be some hard times ahead of us, right? We know there are. So, and we also know that besides these hard times, there is going to be a great spreading of God's word throughout the whole world, right? We know that is still to come. Hard times, great spreading. But who is going to be leading these people in the last days to be able to spread the word? Hopefully that's us that are being able to help and to educate all of these youth that are going to be doing things in the last days. The youth today, they have minds that we can't comprehend. Pastor Rob and I were talking about this earlier. These kids are so smart these days. They're some of the smartest kids and smartest people this world has ever seen. Don't get me wrong, they're also some of the dumbest at some times as well, but we don't need to get into that. We all have our moments, right? But these kids are incredible. You know, I once saw a kid that was playing a video game. He was watching TV, and he was listening to another YouTube video on his phone while doing that all simultaneously. And he knew what was going on in every single one. It was incredible. I mean, obviously, that's not healthy. That wasn't a healthy situation. But this kid knew everything that was going on. I can barely walk and talk on the phone at the same time. I mean, truly. Or try and walk and text. I can't. The kids these days, they maneuver obstacles. You know, you're trying to watch them. These kids today, they have incredible minds. They're a lot smarter than I am. And they are going to be the ones that are going to be doing this great work in the last days. Just incredible minds that are far more advanced than I am. There may be some here, or we have heard about in the past that the generation that they call the greatest generation, right? And don't get me wrong, they were great. They went through a lot. But I don't think that they're the greatest generation. I think the greatest generation that this world will ever see are going to be these kids that came up here today. Because they are going to be the ones that are going to be taking the message of God and His Word to the whole world. To me, that's the greatest generation who's going to be able to finish up the work. And yes, I know, I have kids too. And I look at some of these youth that are around here today and I wonder, how are they ever going to be able to survive on their own? You look at them and you're just wondering, how? You're so young, you don't know the world, and we ponder that. We look at some kids and we say, oh, these are lazy kids, and they're not centered. And those kids are sometimes they're sitting in our congregation today, but you know what? Those same kids are still going to be the ones that are going to be taking this message to the whole world, because God has given them something special. A special spiritual DNA that is going to be able to help them to be able to live in these last days and succeed. And you know why I know that? That God has given them a nice, very special spiritual DNA in them? It's because God has always called youth. God has always called kids to do great works. Let's look at a couple of them. If we just look, not even in the Bible, we look at the kids that lived in the dark ages. I mean, how... they had to have something special to be able to survive and be able to live. We know about the children that were in the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. God gave them something. You know, the young kids are the ones that survived. What happened to the old? They all died off. God gave them something to be able to survive. Right? What about David in the Bible? What about him? He was really young when God called him. He was the one that stood up in front of a whole army just being a little kid. Yeah, he killed Goliath. And then what did he end up doing? He ended up becoming king. God called a young kid to do that. That young kid was probably sitting in his church too. And the people are like, I don't know about David. You know, he's on his phone a lot. You know, but God called him. God called Daniel. We all know the story of Daniel. He called a young man, even in slavery, and he was great. I mean, the other leader saw something great in him and the other kids, right? So he was able to do great things at a very young age. What about Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior? She was young as well. God called her and said, hey, I want you to bear the Messiah. I want to give you my child and to raise him. She was a young girl. She was, a teenager? Young, right? What about the King Josiah, 8 years old? All his parents were wicked, right? And he kind of started to turn things around, called at 8 years old. What about Samuel? What about Jesus when he went out and handpicked his disciples? Right? He picked a lot of youth to be able to go and to help him. God gives these young kids something special for the time that they are living in. These uneducated, you know, fishermen that were young that Jesus picked up off the streets. Ellen White, she was young when she started too. What was it, 17 years old or so? You know, she started really young too. What about Jesus? Jesus is still considered a young adult. You're still a young adult, you know, until 25 to 35. He was still a young adult when he was doing his ministry. When he helped and he shared the word of God and died for all of our sins, he was still young. God calls young people to do incredible works. So we have all these characters that we have in the Bible, right, that were all young and did great things. Okay, now take them out of the Bible. Like they're not even there. What do we really have left? We got some good things left in there, but a lot of the Word of God is filled with youth that are doing awesome and just incredible things. And God picks the youth because their hearts are a little soft still. They still will receive information. They still want to learn, and they're hungry, and they get focused. Have you ever seen a group of young people when they really get focused on a project or on a mission together? Have you seen it? In the youth or in here in church or in school, when the youth really get their hearts around something and they want to do something together, they're working, and it's incredible to see them work. You put a group of older people together to do a work, and it's just a little different. Right? We don't need to get into all that, but it's a little different. But the youth, there's something incredible with them. In Testimonies of the Church, Volume 1, page 511, it says this. It says, I saw that Satan is a vigilant foe, intent upon the purpose of leading the youth to a course of action entirely contrary to what God would approve. He knows well, listen to this. This is awesome right here. He knows well there is no other class that can do such much good as young men and women who are consecrated to God. No other like the youth, right? If youth right now could sway a mighty influence, preachers, laymen, advanced in years cannot have one half the influence upon the young that the youth devoted to God can have upon their associates, right? So the youth, talking to the youth, I can't do it. The pastors can't do it. You can't do it. But the youth can do it. Satan even knows how powerful these youth can be. It's just incredible what they can do. So youth, you out there? Some of you guys sit up top. Some of you guys are down here. I hope you're paying attention here, because this is about you and what you can do. You can do amazing things. So I hope you're here. I hope you're paying attention here. So what are we to do? We get back to that. What are we supposed to do? Our job is to teach them, to help them, to be with them through everything that they need. This is a book, Gospel Workers, here. I'll read from a passage that I found in here. The chapter is Youth to be Burden Bearers. It says, you cannot but look anxiously upon the youth today as those who must take these burdens and upon whose responsibilities must fall. These must take up the work where others leave it. And their course will determine neither morally, religion, and godliness shall prevail, or whether immortality and infidelity shall corrupt a bright all as infidelity shall corrupt and bright all that is valuable. So it says here that the youth are going to be picking up, right? Right where we leave off. And it says here, those who are older must educate the youth by precept and example to discharge the claim that the society and their makers have upon them. Upon the youth must be laid grave responsibilities. So the youth have a large responsibility in what they need to do and what they are going to do. We need to be able to influence our youth so that the youth can influence the world. We've got a couple amens. So what happens when the youth get a hold of a message? What happens when they get a hold of something that they like and that is great? They run with it. We have changed lives when the youth get a hold of something and they start to share it. Okay, so the youth are so cool, and it's so awesome. I think some of you parents may have seen this. So they can share things that we don't share, right? There can be a kid in Japan that on his phone makes a TikTok video, and it's pretty cool, and he starts to do something cool, a cool move or a cool experiment or something like that. Within that same day, you will have kids all over the world seeing this message, the message, or doing what that kid is doing. Have you seen that before? kids all of a sudden they start doing weird things, or they come home to you and they say, "Dad, I got this experiment that I can do. Watch this." And have you ever seen the one where they put a dollar underneath a bottle and they put the bottle on top and say, "Oh, if you can get the bottle," and you pound it and they pull the dollar out and they get the dollar. I mean, there's all these TikTok videos and stuff that the youth put on. But the thing that's really important to realize here is that all over the world, these youth are connected. They send messages and viral videos, and it will go everywhere in less than a day. It is just incredible how the kids can really share messages and can share things with one another. And these kids they're all connected at all ages, all levels. So we really need to watch out when the youth get a hold of a message. Right? When they get a hold of it, when they really get a hold of our message, when they really learn our message, when they take it to heart, and when they build this relationship with God, and it's accompanied with the Holy Spirit, it's going to be incredible. And these youth are going to be the ones to do it. And when the youth share our message all over the world, they share it with the other youth. So what happens is one of our kids, hopefully it was our kids, we're raising them right and we're teaching them right, and we get more Sabbath school teachers and we get more people volunteering to help out. Once that happens, and once one of our youth gets this message, then they share it with one of their other friends, or they share a video, and then all of a sudden you've got 20 friends watching it. And then all of a sudden this kid takes it home, and now his parents are watching the video, and the parents are now seeing a change in the kid. You see how things are going here? These kids can just take this message, and then it will affect so many people. So then it gets into the house, and then the mom gets it, and the mom shares with the aunts and the uncles and the grandparents, and it just keeps moving on. The Great Controversy, page 605, says, "But no one is made to suffer the wrath of God until the truth has been brought home to his mind and conscience, and has been rejected. There are many who have never had an opportunity to hear the special truths for this time." So who here, not here in the church, but who around here do you think have not been able to hear that the truth that God has had and the Bible? It's a lot of the youth. The youth that are out there, we have so many people that don't believe in God and they don't go to church. There's so many youth that they don't know what it's like. They've never set foot in a church before. There's so many of them that have not been able to hear the word of God. There's so many that don't know about the Sabbath. They don't know about the Ten Commandments. They don't know that God is our creator. They don't know what the beast is. They don't know any of that. But when they hear it, they're going to share it. If it really touches their hearts, they are going to share it. In Great Controversy, page 606, the next page, what we just read there, it says, "In every generation, God has set his servants to rebuke sin, both in the world and in the church." At the very end of the paragraph, it says, "The words which the Lord gave them, they uttered, fearless of consequences, and the people were compelled to hear the warning." This message that the youth is going to be sharing, that we need to share, that have been shared in every generation, the special message that the youth have now is exactly what our Sabbath school lessons is about. The three cosmic messages, right? That's the message that they need to be sharing it and getting out to the people. And they are going to do it like the Spirit of Prophecy says here. Fearless of consequences. Kids, when they share things, they often don't think about the consequences, right? They just share what they like. They share what changes them. They share what touches their heart. And that is what these kids are going to do today. All of our kids, hopefully, are going to do today. They're not going to worry about the consequences of sharing the word of God. They're going to get it out there, and they're going to be fearless. See, the problem that we have here is we do not see the youth for who they are. We do not see the young people for who they are. Because these kids, these youth, have been chosen by God to share the message. And we don't see them that way. And we need to be called to help prepare them. We don't look at these kids and we see children right now. We don't see soldiers. We don't see warriors. And we need to. Because these are the kids that are going to be out there and sharing it with the whole world. You know, there's going to be some persecution that we know that's going to be kind of going on, right? Well, us older people, when we have jobs and we'll lose our jobs and we can get put in jail. But what happens when persecution starts for us older people? The youth, they're still going to be around. They're still going to be sharing the word of God all over the place. The youth here in our church are going to do incredible things. I know it. I know they will. We already see some of the things that they're doing. We see the concerts. We see the help. And that's just a start. Because there is going to be a movement of youth sharing the word of God all over the place. It is going to happen. It's starting right now with some of us, some of the older people, and getting it in. We see more and more people on YouTube sharing the message. Dustin Peston, that's coming up here, he's going to be sharing it. He shares a lot of stuff on YouTube. We're going to have kids sharing it. We have so many events where we're going to be seeing the young people come up here. In about a month, we have a lot of young people that are going to come up here, and they're on fire for the Lord. And I know our youth are going to be as well. In Great Controversy, look at this. Look what this says. In the Great Controversy, page 608, it says, blinded by Satan, the parents will exercise harshness and severity towards the believing child, and the master or mistress will oppose the commandment-keeping servants. Affection will be alienated. Children will be disheartened and driven from their home. So we have here a picture. I don't know if you saw that. This is very interesting. There are parents who are seeing their God-believing children and they're kicking them out of their house for being believers. Well, how does that happen? How do these kids learn about the message if the parents are non-believers? It's going to come from our youth that are going to be sharing it with these kids. The kids are going to be accepting this message whether the parents like it or not, right? Kids accept a message that they see or they hear whether we like it or not, right? Hopefully, the message that our kids are going to be sharing is going to be a wonderful message. So we see that there in the spirit of prophecy. We see that a message has been brought to the children, to the kids. So the purpose of this message today is to shed light on the youth that we have here in our church. We don't have to go too far. We saw a ton of them up here today. Is to shed light on them. We need to see them in a new light as that next generation. We really do. And we need to help them. We need to prepare them to do incredible things. And I want the youth also to see themselves as what we're talking about. I don't want them to see themselves as just kids. I want them to see themselves as future leaders. I want them to feel and to know that God is going to use them in different capacities. I want them to know that there is a congregation out there that loves them, that supports them, and is going to make more effort to go out and help them and to teach them. So this message is for us, the older people, and for the youth as well. We both need to see how truly wonderful they are. But they have to be wonderful, right? They came from us, right? They got to be wonderful. But we need your help. This can't come from just a youth director. This can't come from just a Sabbath school teacher. This has to come from a whole congregation. We need to uplift our youth, love our youth, talk to the youth. And the youth need to do it back. We need to bring it in. We need to bring it in close. You know, I help coach basketball for my son's league. And what do we do before a game? We all bring it in. We all huddle up. We all put our hands in the middle. We talk about what we need to do. And we do it as a team. It's the same here in the church family. We need to do it all as a team. And I'd like to close with this last story here. We find it in, it's very well known. It's not going to, I'm not going to read anything anybody hasn't read. But it's Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. Matthew 18, 1 through 5 says this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." So who does it say are the greatest in the kingdom? The youth, right? Well, that's not exactly what Jesus is saying, but it's funny. The youth are the greatest, right? No amens. The youth are great. That's not what this verse is saying here. But what this does do is this paints a really nice picture for us. Right? So we have Jesus with people, and he has his disciples around him, and who are in the midst also listening to Jesus. There's children there. And these children that are there listening to Jesus, Jesus looks at them, and he realizes that they are listening to him. And how wonderful is that? I've been able to have the privilege to be able to teach the youth Sabbath school class. And when I'm teaching and when I'm sharing the word of God, and these kids are just sitting there and they're absorbing it and they're looking at it and they're seeing Jesus, it's a wonderful feeling. So as Jesus is here and he's talking, he's preaching about the greatest in the kingdom, and he's trying to teach a lesson to his disciples and all those around him, the children are there as well. And these children believe in Jesus. So when these disciples are asking this high-level question of who is the greatest in the kingdom, who does Jesus look at first? He looks to a little kid. Probably not an infant, but probably not a teenager either. Right there in the middle, that great age, right? When your kids are between 6 and 10. I'm guessing that's the age. And Jesus pulls this child up to him. People all over listening. And he looks at this child when they ask him, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom?" And Jesus says, "Well, to be the greatest in this kingdom, you need to be like this little guy right here. Sweet, humble, passionate." They're with the adults listening to Jesus instead of being out around and playing. Just a sincere love and a focus on Jesus. That's what this little kid was. So he calls this little kid and says, "Yeah, you need to be like my little partner that's right here." Jesus, when he spoke to children and he spoke to kings, right? But Jesus loved the children, right? So Jesus sees us as his children, right? Our Lord and Savior, he sees us as his children. And he looks at us as his children, and he sees in us, he says, "You know what? You can do great things. You are going to do great things." We know our Lord and Savior says that to us, right? And he wants great things for us. And that's how our Lord and Savior sees us. We are his children. He loves us. And he has left us with a very special job to do. This is how we need to look at our children as well. At our youth, whether they're your children or not, they are our children. And that is how we need to see our youth. Just as our Savior sees us. Amen. God is
his purpose out as he succeeds to
pray. Dear wonderful, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for speaking to us today. Lord, we know that we need to put more care and attention into our youth, Lord. Just as you look upon us as your children, we want to look upon them as our children as well, and your children that are going to be the ones that are going to be taking this message to the world, Lord. So thank you so much for blessing us with such a great youth, with so many numbers and such great talents, Lord. Help us to be able to focus on them and help them so we can do our part, Lord. Please bless this congregation, everybody here today. Bless the rest of the Sabbath, Lord. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.